Off we go.
I call the regular meeting of the Kissimmee Utility Authority to order. And will you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have any modifications or additions to the agenda?
May I make a motion to approve today's agenda?
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Awards and presentations.
Yes, Madam Chair. D1, I'm going to ask Chris Gent, Vice President, Director of Corporate Communications, to come up and... KUA was just awarded a FMEA Building Strong Communities. I'd ask for him to speak on that.
Thanks, Brian. Each year, the Florida Municipal Electric Association invites member utilities to submit kind of their year of activity and outreach to the community, and it goes through a review process, and then they'll select and recognize those utilities. And this year, we were one of 14 utilities recognized in the state. And so I'd like to present, this was presented to us by Amy Zubeli, the Executive Director of FMEA. I'd like to present it to you all on behalf of that association.
Thank you.
Yeah, yes, very nice. Very nice.
Madam Chair, we do have a few service awards today, beginning with Sandra Morris, who is an Administrative Assistant to in Human Resources. We're recognizing her. We recognize Sandra for 5 years of service at KUA. Bill Spencer is a SCADA Communications Technician 2 in our Operations Department. We're recognizing Bill for 10 years of service. Enable meter exchanges. His effort kept the AMI project on schedule and provided more time for us to work with our vendor on the larger deployment and other services. Krishna showed us his abilities and talent in ways that have made an immediate contribution to IT and KUA as a whole, and I mirror that. And I thank you. We're fortunate to have you.
Get out here that easy.
Together with our chair,
Well, congratulations. That short a tenure to be acknowledged like
so
that is wonderful.
Our vice chair, Ethel Urbina.
Thank you for your service. Here's some money to enjoy.
Director,
congratulations, and here's a parking space for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Certainly.
This way. I'm going to hold him. Secretary Manny Ortega.
He's new. He's still finding his way around.
You got a shirt?
Sure, yes.
All right.
Oh, I'm so excited about this.
Assistant Secretary.
Congratulations. I don't think you like this. A day off with Peg.
Oh, God, thank you.
And Mayor Kissimmee Jose Alvarez.
Oh, yes, sir. Nice meeting you. Congratulations. Here's some tickets for Osceola Arts.
Oh, appreciate it. All right.
Enthusiasm. Okay, now we'll give you all a chance to return to your workstations if you want to do that. And if we have anybody that wants to speak, if they'll come forward.
I want to speak.
Okay, go over there.
I do want to say thank you guys. 20 years KUA has been phenomenal. I often tell my boss and stuff that if I were to bleed, I would bleed blue and white KUA colors.
Woo-hoo! All right.
So I thank you very much.
Thank you. In Kentucky.
Yes, thank
you. Madam Chair, just to clarify, if there are any members of the public in the audience, now is the time.
And I ask him to keep me on track when I get off. So.
Great. You're doing great.
So, is there any member of the public that wishes to address us at this time? Seeing none, we'll move to item F, the consent agenda.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Item G, public hearing. We have none this month. Informational presentations.
Yes, Madam Chair. The first informational presentation, we've got two today. But last month, I mentioned to you that we'd be coming back with a demonstration of the initial deployment of the AMI customer portal. And while this first version doesn't have all the functionality that is ultimately going to be available to our customers, it will provide you a glimpse of some of the features that our customers will be able to utilize once we go live. And I'm going to ask Jeff Gray, our Vice President of IT, to give you that demonstration.
Hello, board. It's a new day at KUA. Hello. It's a new day at KUA, and here's why. For the first time, our customers are now going to be able to see their usage every 15 minutes in that incremental way that we've dreamed of for so long, for having AMI, for that investment, and the tremendous amount of work that it has taken to get that moving. The portal is the part that the customers can see. So we're very excited to show this to you today. It's going to look finished to you. It's not. It's still under construction. It's very new. We just launched it in October. And we want to spend a little extra time to make sure that what they see is 100% accurate. We're moving a tremendous amount of data around here. If you can imagine, we have 15,000 plus meters already installed. So if 15,000 people texted you every 15 minutes, you can imagine it might get a little, you know, out of control. So that's how much data we're bringing in now. And eventually it'll be 80,000 meters doing that every 15 minutes, collected, managed, moved from system to system, and finally into the portal. So what you're going to see is how that's going to look to those customers. And this is it is live now, but we're, like I said, we're still under construction, so bear with us. The first thing you would see when you go to that portal is this screen right here. And the most important thing right there, right dead center, you can make a one-time payment if you're not interested in the portal. If that's not for you, you just want to come pay your bill, not a problem. You can click this and go and pay as you normally do. At that point, you'd be over on our Paymentus payment site, so you can have all those features of paying your bill. You also have the outage notifications there and also requesting an extension and seeing your bill. All of that is up and running and has been running very well for quite some time. We actually have almost 41,000 customers as of this morning, 40,890, I think, on e-bill. Fantastic percentage, over 50%. But this is where those customers will eventually go to pay their bill. They'll see the portal now. So this is why it has to be right the first time. With that, I'm going to go ahead and take you in and let you see a few things. One of the things you may notice right on the bottom right here, this live chat, that's actually up and running. So if I'm not sure what I'm looking at, if it's a little too much data overload with this dashboard and all these temperatures and things like that, I can communicate with a customer service rep at KUA right there with one click, send in the information, they'll communicate with me, and they can also see my screen. They're not the one I'm on, but they can actually follow or even guide me through it. That's going to be a whole other training piece that we're working on right now to get the reps up to speed. But it's great to know that you're not alone when you log in to see this. You've got someone there, KUA, who can walk you through it and see your screen.
Good. Jeff, can I ask you, what does impersonate user mean?
This is a horrible phrase from our vendor. Impersonate mode is, as an administrator, I can log in and find an account that the customer's called me about. So I'm impersonating myself. Probably my therapist would say that's more than once. But I'm impersonating myself in this regard. I'm logged in as an administrator, but I'm showing my account.
Thank you.
I'm totally fine showing my data to anybody. That's no problem at all. So this is my house, and this is actually my consumption. I've got an AMI meter on there. And as you can see, I'm going to turn down some of these features, so it's not quite so much at the first glance. And let's take a look at just a daily read real quick. So the shaded areas that you see here, those pinkish salmon kind of colors, those are weekends. And so right away, I've got a daily consumption, a quick look at how much energy I'm using. Again, if we have a gas gauge, we can anticipate how much we're using and when we need to fill up and so forth. So if you can imagine down the road, when we get into things like prepay, that's where things like this become extremely valuable because you can actually track how you're doing with your balances. Everything you're going to see so far is all based on meter reads and data. It's not dollars and cents. It's not what the bill is. It's just the actual reads, the actual consumption. That's the real purpose of the portal. So we're not getting a whole lot into the dollars just yet. We want to leave that for the last piece because, again, it is very critical. When you start saying your bill was this much on this day and you attach dollars to it and you got the billing codes wrong, that could be a problem. So we don't want to mislead any customers. So with that, just a quick look, I can change the increments of the reads all the way down to every 15 minutes as it comes in. This data comes over around 1 p.m. in the afternoon. I'm seeing the previous day's midnight to midnight read. So around 1:15, you should have the data from the previous day. And again, I can see this sort of pattern emerging of when I have high consumption, low consumption, and so forth.
Looks like you had a party on the 23rd and 24th.
Those do happen, yes.
They didn't invite us.
Yeah. What's kind of nice, now just seeing your data at a glance, it gives you a sense of patterns of usage, and also I can see what's going on here, why were these days particularly hot. Well, one of the main things we know is customers always feel that they're somehow victimized because they've not changed their thermostat, yet their bill was higher, and we know that the reason for that is the temperature outside, but it's hard to illustrate that. Well, now not so much so. I can actually see that all those peaks of my usage match the temperature, which is that green bar you see, of the day. So as it gets hotter outside, my consumption goes up and so forth. And again, as the temperature drops, so does my consumption. Great correlation. In one glance, I can see that, and easy to explain that to a customer. I can back out. 15 minutes is probably a little too much. I'm going to go to hourly just to make it a little easier on the eyes. And again, we can see that consumption pattern. Some of the things I can do here as a customer is I can attach certain things, such as events. For example, I wanted to insulate my garage. I'd heard it was a great way to reduce the heat on the floor above, and I had never thought about that, so I bought some insulation insulate. So I put this right here as a note on my account that I insulated my garage on this day. Now, of course, like anybody who's made an investment in saving energy in their home, what do I want to do? I want to see what was the result, right? Did that help? So if that's somebody who's adding solar, which I'll be showing you in a minute, if that's someone who's either added more insulation in their attic, a new water heater, a new appliance, someone's moved in and I want to see, you know, how much that's offsetting my bill, I can now put that on the chart and it moves with the data, which is fantastic. Another great feature is now that I have an idea of what my consumption is, not just every 15 minutes, but this little blue bar that you see across the bottom here, that's the average for the month. So I can kind of get a sense of how much do I use every 15 minutes, what's the average every hour, every day, however I want to measure that. What is that average for my home? For me, in this case, it's 1 kilowatt per hour. So if I'm using 1 kilowatt per hour, if I go to 2 kilowatts, I would like an alert from the system that says, you just went over 2 kilowatts, and it's going to be a text message that comes to me. Granted, that data is not immediate. It's going to come probably tomorrow, but it will alert me that something is going on, and I was able to set that up very easily by just going here. I go to my communication preferences, and I can put a threshold in here. If I go over 3 kilowatts in a 15-minute, which would be rather unusual, I will get a text message. And I put those things in myself. I didn't have to talk to anybody at KUA. I just put in my phone number, what carrier I was with, and what I was looking to be alerted to. Nice and easy. Really great for people who have especially multiple properties where they may have an issue going on, and I'm going to demonstrate that right now. So that's the basic part. Let me go back to my dashboard. The basic part that you saw is those pieces. Now, on top of that, you may have noticed this bright yellow sticker here. We just did a video, which you know was done on Community Solar. So unlike saying, hey, customers, please go to YouTube and look at our video or go onto our website and look at it, if you're logging into the portal, remember, 41,000 customers already using eBill about to be pointed here when we're ready, will now be able to just click and see it pop up and play right in front of them, quick and easy. YouTube does all the tracking of the video. We have all that. We're actually playing it from YouTube right now, but it's popped right there in the video, and off we go. That's a fantastic way to ensure that communication with our customers is front and center, easy to read, and it doesn't have to be a video. It can be text. It can be a graphic. It can be an image that links to something else on our website. You may remember when we were recruiting for board members and we wanted to get the word out that we were looking. And can we put an image in a bill stuffer? And, you know, that's all so passe. Most people don't look at the bill stuffers. But right there in the middle, much better chance of getting visibility for that. On top of that, we have a dashboard that will be popping up like this. This front and center communication is essential excuse me, for anything that we know is the top 10, let's say, items that most customers are asking for. We'll get that information from customer service. We'll know what are the top 10 things customers want to know when they call us or communicate with us or chat with us. And we can put those in these little widgets right here. So that's a fantastic option for whether it's, you know, watching a video of perhaps the Toro substation launch tomorrow or on Friday, or again, just certain things that you want to do. The future of this portal also will include a lot of self-help features. So customers can actually do things, start and stop service transfers on their own 24 hours a day. They don't have to go through customer service. Now, a start-stop for us is the longest transaction we have in customer service by far. That takes the longest to do, whether it's over the phone or in person. If we can automate that, which we'll be doing by the end of the year, it'll be right here, and we'll have that, of course, that time savings and the convenience of being available 24/7 for customers. So with that, let's take a look at some other things. I've got a script here to make sure I don't miss anything. let's take a look at accounts that have multiple properties. What do those look like? Oh, I need to exit my impersonation mode. Excuse me. And we'll just go right there. Now, what you'll see now is this little blue box right here that pops down on this particular account. And when I click that, here are all the accounts, the multiple accounts for that particular grouped person. So this person has access to all of these. They've already set them up. And if they're calling and if they have a question on a particular property, let's say I'm a property manager, I've got homes for rent all over Kissimmee or even Osceola County, I can see all of them in one screen. I don't have to log in with different logins. That's always been a concern for people is, do I have to have a different, you know, username and password for each home? That's a bit of a drag. Can we just put it all in one place? And we can. So all the tools are familiar. It's one login. You can manage everything. It's not just great for property managers. It's great for businesses that have multiple locations. And another one that we found is when you have ailing parents who maybe are older, they're no longer paying their bills, you're paying them for them and so forth. It's a great way to stay on top of that and manage it from one login. So it really encompasses a lot of different purposes. So that's how the multiple accounts work. We're going to take a look at solar because we know that of all the people who are interested in portals and consumption data, it's someone who's just made a substantial investment in their solar, solar on their home. So this is a solar account taken live from data. And what you see here is the consumption on the top, and on that bluish color towards the bottom is the actual generation. Now, by itself, it may not tell you a whole story, but if we add, I think the next image, let me hop over here. If we add weather data, we see that when the sun is up in the sky nice and bright, we're generating power with the drop there. And as the sun goes down, that person begins to draw back off the grid. So it's a nice, easy, down to every 15 minutes of consumption for someone who's invested in solar, fantastic. Here's a little closer view. If we're zooming in, going into the hourly look, I can see when I was generating, when I was drawing from the grid, and what the temperature was at the time. And one of the more interesting things on this particular one where I've hovered, you can see this here where there was a split between the two. So in 1 hour, I did both. I generated power, and I also pulled from the grid. What does that look like, and is the system smart enough to calculate the difference? Well, it absolutely is, and we can see what the net usage was based on that, just in that 1 hour period. So it's very granular, and again, for people who've made that investment, I think they're really going to appreciate those kinds of tools. Can we go back to the... Let me close out here. We have the ability to also show commercial. I'm not ready to demonstrate that today because we're still doing verifications on that. But demand meters, which is another part, especially for corporate customers, that will show up as a two-bar stacked chart. But I'm not ready to show you that today. It's not quite ready for prime time. But other than that, I wanted to just wrap it up with any questions you may have. Again, the future integrated payments, you don't have to go over to PayMinus. If I click the pay button now, I'm going to go over to our payment portal. Eventually, that will actually be right here inside. So you'll pay your bill in here, view your bill, request extensions, you can report outages, and several other features will be built in. We talked a little bit about text and text alerts. Text alerts are a great feature. We're probably going to go a slightly different direction than the portal can offer, because we found a way to make texting work for everybody. Whether you use the portal or not, you're going to be able to text outages to KUA and get updates about the outage from KUA, and it goes directly, not through a portal, directly into our IVR and our management system for outages from one text. So no phone call, just right in. That's a separate project, separate track. It's probably going to come by the end of the year, probably by December. We should have that up and running if all goes well. So that's built into the idea of this, but it won't come specifically from the portal manufacturer. It's a separate vendor. So lots of great things coming to our customers and all. Any questions you may have?
Yeah, like yesterday we had Monday, we had a power fluctuation. Will any of that type of information show?
We are talking about how that's going to appear, because the system will typically show an energy usage trend, which means there's going to be some rounding, and we need to make sure we label that as that. Otherwise, obviously, a customer who says, you were out for 1 hour, or my home was out of power for an hour, and it's showing consumption, so this can't be right. If it's averaging the data points over 15 minutes, yes, it could show that. So we want to make sure, in part of our validation right now, that we're labeling that correctly, so we set the expectation for the customer and don't make them think that we charge them for electricity when they didn't consume it, because that isn't the case. It's just how the data gets displayed.
When is the expected date for customer rollout?
We are thinking probably by maybe mid-December, if all goes well. Again, if we find things that we know are not good, we're going to have to go back to the drawing board. The vendor's been fantastic in getting us up. Originally, actually, the AMI portal was at the tail end, if you remember, of the AMI project, which means it wouldn't have rolled out till 2021. We found an opportunity. We could do it sooner, and we jumped on it. And so here we are, at the beginning of the project, still under 25%, and we're able to actually put it out. So we're going a little quick. I do think we'll be able to have it out hopefully by December, but there's also that part of moving the e-bill customers into the portal. That's a massive move of people, and I don't want to put them into it and then have them switch or vice versa, so we want to roll it out kind of all together. So we might delay it a little bit so we can have all of the payment stuff already built in and not have to have two places to go. Other questions?
Yeah, this is a massive undertaking. I could see it, and for the as a customer, I would need a lot of education on what you just finished going through.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we're gonna have to have some type of educational component to this, and maybe working through Chris with the putting maybe some clips on Facebook and so forth, just to start to introduce the system to the folks. If you throw that out there without.
Yeah, just cold turkey and go learn it. We're thinking that much in the way that the community solar video was popping up, that we may use that widget space as a get started with your AMI portal and like you said, like a video that kind of walks you through, you know, the top five things you need to know, and then let people get started, and then they can start clicking around, because there is a lot to it. It's a very verbose system, but we don't want to leave them just to figure it out on their own. It would probably flood customer service, you know, how do I make a payment? I just want to make a payment, you know, like, so we want to make that easy for them and stuff. But yeah, education is key, and also so that the customer gets the benefit of that investment, because, you know, it's part of the AMI project.
Commercial and residential are identical, right?
So are identical. The only difference, commercial, if they have a demand meter, some of the commercial properties do, that'll show separately. It'll appear differently in the graphs. But as far as, yeah, just logging and seeing everything, it won't be any different. The multi-accounts is more, I think, akin to the commercial usage, especially for property managers and those who are managing distant properties that they rent out. Other questions?
Great. It's right, very exciting.
It is. It is.
Right. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, before we move to H2, I think that we didn't get approval of the consent agenda. I think we mentioned it, but I don't think we took a vote.
We voted on it.
Did we get a first and second? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I first, and he seconded.
Okay. Everybody approved.
All right. Wonderful. So fast. Okay. Item H2, you may recall that when we were going through our budget development for fiscal year 2020, we included some capital funding for the installation of some electric vehicle charging stations to be placed strategically within our service territory. Staff has been moving forward on multiple fronts to provide this new service to our customers, and we wanted to provide you with a brief update on some of the new developments related to that effort. And I'm going to ask Susan Postens to come up and talk about that.
Well, actually, I'm just going to introduce part of the team. You know, we had a cross-departmental team looking at electric vehicles and what we should get involved in and the timing of it. So in addition to the charging stations, we've had a couple members of the team, along with some additional new members, start looking at the, you've heard of the VW mitigation money that's available. And so on behalf of KUA, they've done that. So I'm going to ask Scott Greaves, as part of that group, to come up and show you where we are with that.
Good afternoon, Board of Directors. I'd like to go over a little bit of the KUA electric vehicle update. Our EV team was asked to review the Florida Department of Environmental Protection, the Volkswagen, the VW mitigation settlement, which has possible funding for three categories for following the RFI projects. So the first category, all electric mass transit shuttle and school buses, which had some interest for us. The second was the electrical vehicle infrastructure. That's the level two and the level three charging stations. And the third one is clean diesel emission technology. Here we have a picture of what we call the BYD X9. This is a fully electric bus. We reviewed this. This is in the first category. The second one is a fully electric school bus. So the first thing we did, we explored the EV school bus opportunities and reached out to the Osceola County School District. Mr. Creech, Director of Transportation, who provided this research, and what he deemed unfavorable details regarding the EV bus for the following reasons, which caught us kind of off guard. We thought electric bus was great, but when we found out some additional research that they were already working on, definitely educated us a little bit. So the following reasons, the school district, they can actually purchase three clean diesel buses for what it costs to purchase one electric school bus. The second was diesel buses have a much farther range than EV buses or electric buses, which do not meet the needs of their shortest routes at this time. The school district also expressed major concerns with safety, reliability, an unknown replacement cost because the technology is still kind of new in the school bus development. The picture here, the Lion bus, is actually manufactured in Canada and currently not allowed in the state of Florida. So that kind of ruled out that school bus as an actual option. But we plan to continue to keep, you know, following this technology and looking at ways that we can serve our customers in the future as this can, you know, as this develops.
I have a quick question.
Yes, sir.
That school bus that you say it's in Canada, does it have the features, the extra features that the school board was looking for, or is it the same thing that it doesn't travel long enough, or is it?
They've reviewed this. They actually mentioned it in their response. It has a limited range. There's only a few of them in the country right now that across the country, different school districts have purchased some, and then they also mentioned those are being returned. Okay. It's actually an all-plastic a bus. So the bus, to keep the weight down, the entire shell, from my understanding, is plastic. And it's corrosion-free, so it's also, they've made it a little bit better to keep rust down from different areas. But currently, it's manufactured in Canada.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
How would something like this benefit KUA?
I think this technology, as it grows, I think we should, my recommendation, our team's recommendation, would be to look at ways that we can put level 2 and level 3 fast charging stations in our service territory and be able to offer that service to our school board, shelters, local commercial accounts, and serve these type of things that may be, you know, there's no definite date and time when this will make the school board feel comfortable to start going this route. I mean, right now the school board, 50% of their fleet does not have air-conditioned buses. So these are very, very expensive for them to jump into. So,
Madam Chair, and I'd like to address it. I think moving to electric buses shifts the load from gas to electric. That's the benefit for the utility.
Okay. I don't think I'd want one of my children in an all-plastic school bus. Seriously. I'm really seriously. In case of an accident, in case something hit it, I don't know how safe it would be. That kind of worries me.
It would roll. Just they have them in California.
Okay. Now we've applied for the Volkswagen mitigation funds. You can see here in the map, it gives a little idea of some of our locations already. But currently, Category 2, we've applied for the VW mitigation funds for EV charging infrastructure to help strengthen our EV corridors and evacuation routes. That's primary and secondary evacuation routes. KUA EV team has identified several strategic level 3, that's the fast charging stations, in our service territory. So you can see here on the map, the ones that the KUA logos that are circled there, those are right now in the works for level 3 fast charging stations. The other two that do not have the circle around them, that's the Neo City and the Osceola Heritage Park, our pilot program for the level 2s installed there. So, another great thing that we recently did was the team established a low-cost rate. So the accounts, the customers that come to us, it's only $125 a month, and no upfront cost to add a charging station at their business or location to capture that load.
Madam Chairman, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Over at the Historical Society Museum, they have two charging stations. Are those ours or?
Correct. The Welcome Center is the second one over to the left of the screen. That's actually the Welcome Center. There's two obsolete charging stations there, and they've never worked to date. So I actually turned the power off to those and helped the county make those safe until we can get ours. Ours to replace, you know, in the replacement.
So these are not ours.
No, ma'am.
These would be just private companies that have gone in and put the charging station in. And
the ones at the Shingle Creek, those are installed by the county. A private third party did that. Okay. But we will install our charging stations there that say KUA on them, and we'll maintain those.
Thank you,
Madam Chair, if I may. And so those charging stations that Jeannie's talking about, a citizen had brought that to my attention. And I brought it to the attention of the staff of KUA. They've been in conversation with the county in hope now that we will take over that area and put our own charging stations there.
When I communicated with them there a year or so ago, nobody had ever asked to use them or to even find out that they didn't work. Are they getting questions about it now? Because if they're not, why would we put one there if nobody wants it?
I think there's more vehicles now out there that need charging, and so there's more people asking, when are these charging stations going to be up and running?
If I may say something, I think you're going to find the people that are go to a part of a historical society, an art, like the Center for the Arts, those people tend to be more proactive in this situation. So I think those would be the first places you'd want to try for the public, is people that are, inventive and social thinking would be the first ones to want this.
The team identified this location as a strategic location, beneficial. The other thing in regards to EV charging stations, when they don't work and they're obsolete, they usually post something on the EV GPS that's in your EV car. And this is a very active thing. And when it says these don't work, they never have. So even if it comes up, they see that and they're like, I'm not stopping there. So that is, if you look on there, it has a lot of negative posts on there. And when we own them, we can handle that accordingly and maintain them much better than they've never worked. And I was surprised to hear that. And they were actually still energized. And then I worked with the county and we went in there and turned them off to make them safe. And it's a great relationship we have now at the county to get this accomplished. So we're going to do a level 2 and a level 3 there. So they'll have a fast charger there, you know, once we get to that point. Any more questions on that? Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Have you all looked to see how many commercial customers have electric vehicles that you could market to?
We haven't solicited, and that's actually come up in some meetings. You know, we haven't really tapped into that 192 corridor, you know, where we go, and it's wide open. So if you look at the map here, you really don't see a lot of charging stations. But if I was to pull Orlando's, it would be massive. There's a lot. So this is a great opportunity for us to reach out to these commercial accounts in the future here and offer the service. That way we pretty much have it ready to go. So,
out of curiosity, does the Lynx bus system have electric vehicles or no?
That actually came up in discussion in one of my meetings with the Lynx. They do. They are looking at that investment. They are purchasing some from, you know, the defined number. I'm not sure because the buses take a while to make. And the BYD bus is actually shipped from China. So it's not manufactured in the U.S., so there's some concerns about that. But I heard Lynx is buying some of those buses.
Yes.
What about rental cars? Do the rental car companies are offering electric vehicles?
I haven't, honestly, that's a really good question. I haven't, you know, come across anybody or anybody on our team has mentioned that. But I could see, I could see that in the future. You know, that is kind of like, you know, try it. Get, encourage people to try them. That's a really good question. I haven't seen anything.
Other states and are using them in other states and expect them here.
Yeah. A lot of that is driven by range anxiety, too. A lot of people, it's like one of the number one questions. A lot of people are looking at, should I buy a V8 truck or a vehicle right now and look at trying 10 years from now, what is that V8 going to do for me if I try to trade it in? We might see more electric vehicles by that time. So a lot of the studies right now are saying in the next 3 to 5 years, 65% of people are looking at EVs. So,
we rent a lot of cars when we go on our trips, and I have yet to see any sort of electric vehicle offering it with any rental companies. That's not to say that that's not the case. I just haven't seen them, or they're not marketing them.
Madam Chair, I have a question.
Yes,
you're saying that our plans for the future are to put more in.
Yes.
Is that funding in our budget? Will you be bringing that to us as a funding issue for us?
Director, we included money in the FY 2020 budget for some pilot installations of chargers. Going forward, when we provide this as a full service to our customers, we'll treat it in a very similar fashion as we do area lights, where the customer will pay a monthly fee for the use of the charger, and we'll we will operate and maintain the charger.
But that's for private.
That's correct.
What I'm talking about is like at the Historical Society, where it's a public property, where you're be putting these in. Are you going to be charging those public properties for putting one in?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just kind of jump in.
Because that doesn't seem right.
Okay.
Unless they get some money from it.
So they don't get money from it, but what they would be doing is just like they need to provide lighting for security. It's an option that they could have us install one of these. The monthly fee that they would be paying us would be to pay for the charger over time and any maintenance, because we would be maintaining it. The drivers continue to pay for the kilowatt hours that the vehicles actually use. So back to the Historical Society, one of the reasons that it's a strategic location is there will be people that will stop there to charge their vehicle that may not have ever stopped there before, and what a great opportunity for us to introduce them to the Historical Society and Shingle Creek and all the things that they can do right there. And so that's one of the reasons that it's strategic. But back to your question, the amount that they would pay, the monthly fee that they would pay for KUA to provide and maintain a charging station would be, for a customer, would be about $125 for a level 2 charging station. Customers want that because, again, like the Historical Society, it will bring people to their location for that wouldn't normally stop there.
So it's a one-time fee plus a monthly charge?
There is no one-time fee. It's like lighting.
So it's
just a monthly fee for them to have a KUA charging station at their location.
So this sounds like that we need a marketing plan on
this also. And there will be, but I have to tell you, you asked Scott if we've marketed it yet. We have so many requests right now, and we're still in the development phase. Mm-hmm. So, yes, there will be a marketing plan, but this is where we are right now. But we wanted to let you know that we were pursuing some assistance, some money, through this VW mitigation plan. That's the tie here. So we decided not to go for the buses, but to try for this. And then he's got a little more to share.
Okay, thank you, Sam. Thank you. Lots of questions.
It's great. I love hearing the questions on EVs. I'm really passionate about this, offering this service to our customers. This is one of my favorite slides here. And honestly, it's one of the, every time I talk about EVs, I typically get the one and two question, how fast does it charge my vehicle and how much they cost? So you can see here the level one up top there, it says level one. That's a 120-volt outlet. So we have 120-volt outlets here in the room. An electric car can charge into one of those garage outlets or an outside outlet. We even see them on commercial buildings right now over the county. Somebody's plugging in a 120-volt outlet. But it takes a long time to charge a vehicle with that. And you can see it could take 18 hours to roughly get a 100-mile capacity charge for that electric vehicle. The level two is the most common. We're getting a lot of requests for us to install those for customers. That typically 2 to 4 hours. We usually see those installed at the workplace. But also the level two has two parts. You have your residential version and you have a commercial version. So the residential version runs about $500 if a customer wants to install that. And some of the customers might need a service panel upgrade, so they'll have to contact an electrician for that. And then the commercial, that could typically range between $5,000 to $10,000 per charging station. So you got to think about the conduit. Is the transformer big enough to handle it, the infrastructure, and the equipment? So we've really done a lot of due diligence on our research to really drive down the price and be able to offer affordable charging stations to our customers that really nobody can be competitive with. The third one, DC fast charging, that's the one to the right, that's DC. Those can charge a car within 15 minutes, 100-mile capacity. So those are impressive. That's where our strategic goal is, to get some of those in our 85-square-mile service territory, basically around our borders, pioneer those sites. So the slide before, you see to the right, that's the turnpike. So we got the Turkey Lake Plaza to the north of KUA and the Canoe Creek Service Plaza to the south. Those two locations have Duke fast charging installs planned. We're right in the middle there. So That's where we're planning to put a fast charger, right there at one of our turnpike exits. So we're really excited about that. And the last category, category three, this is a clean diesel technology. Currently, we have three diesel trucks pre-2009 that meet the requirements. So they need to be older than 2009 for replacement. Central Services, yes, ma'am.
Can I just ask you the cost of the level three?
The level three, I'm sorry, those could range about $40,000 starting.
Yes. 40,000. Residential?
No, that's not for residential. That's just commercial. So those take a lot more infrastructure. You know, three-phase transformer, conduit. The equipment cost is extensive. And we originally, when we started the team, we put the team together, we were seeing 50,000 per charging station at the 50 kW mark. Now we're seeing that price dropping. And the lead times on those are around 16 weeks. So we place an order for a charging station right now, a fast charging station right now, it could take up to 16 weeks because a lot of utilities are getting into the business. The last category, clean diesel technology. Central Services is doing a great job here. Neil has found three pre-2009 bucket trucks that could be submitted for this RFI and up to 100% replacement cost. And I think Neil's here.
Hey, Neil.
30 years.
So this is the third category of the Volkswagen mitigation settlement that we're going to do an RFI on as well. So, and for that, I really appreciate you allowing me to speak about electric vehicles. And if you have any questions, please.
Madam Chair, if I may.
Yes.
You know, I sit in a lot of different transportation boards. And this is the conversation. This is the future. And so I congratulate you guys because really KUA is ahead of the game. And we need to be ahead of the game because we need to look at what's going to be the future for KUA. And this is the conversation. This is the topic as it's going to move forward now. Not only with this, but one of the largest topics that you're going to hear a lot when we go to Tallahassee this year is that gas tax that we continue to lose year and year and year, that is not coming in because more electrical vehicles are being put out, and so we're collecting less gas tax, and it's affecting us because that's the funding that we use on roads. And so this is a topic. Gas tax is going to be a big topic in Tallahassee on what else can we look for funding for, and it's, they're talking about this. So we're ahead of the game. So, yeah.
So they're gonna tax the EV stations. Okay.
Well, there's actually the Speaker of the House this year will form a committee that will do a study on how we're gonna move forward into the future, where we'll come up at a point where the gas tax will not exist anymore. They will find a different funding mechanism for roads. So, but like I said, we're ahead of the game, and I think we're in good place.
We have a great team on this. Yeah. So we look forward to presenting more in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank
good
you.
Job.
Good presentation.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. No old business, so we'll move on to new business.
Yes, Madam Chair. Item J1. As you all are aware, staff has been working on the development of our third-year goals for our five-year strategic plan. As with prior years, we're bringing forward goals that are in line with, in line with achieving improvements in the key core areas that we identified when we developed the five-year plan. And Kathy V here, who's been working with us since the beginning with V Strategic, is going to walk you through the recommended 2020 goals.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Commissioners. It's a pleasure to be here again with you. I always feel like it's old home week when I come. I just love coming here. And I'm getting to know the area pretty good, too, by the way. So first I want to start out just to remind you that this is the third year of the plan. We started planning this 4 years ago. This is the third year. This is the 2020 business plan based on your strategic plan. I also want to remind you that a lot of these are high targets, and staff makes it look easy. I know that, but I can assure you it is not. And, you know, those of you that go to APPA and the various meetings, you probably realize that you have an excellent utility, and they compare very favorably in the state of Florida and throughout the United States. So I just want to make sure that we don't ever lose sight of that. Let's see. One of the other things I wanted to mention is that I'm not going to go into great detail about the history of what we've done, because you guys are all on the board. You've been here for a while now, and I just don't want to waste your time. So let me just move quickly to the next slide. Just to remind you, when we did go through the planning, you confirmed the vision statement. You confirmed the mission statement. And then we developed the core purpose. And I think all of you know that this is like my favorite thing, is the core purpose, because I really think it says what you are that makes you different from other utilities. We know OUC is the reliable one, but you chose not to be the cheapest or the most reliable, even though you have really good measures on those two areas. But you decided, no, we're going to make sure that our core purpose is to enrich the quality of life for our customers and community. And so you draw in on these multiple areas, such as customer, finance, and employee, to direct and help your team develop strategy to get you where you want to go. So the three areas are improving the customer experience, maintaining excellent financial service, and then cultivating a great work environment. So all of your strategies, measures, and targets go right into that. They all funnel right up to that. And then, again, they fit into these buckets. And then this is the overall plan that staff manages. They use this to manage their plan for the next year. I wanted to remind you that when we were here a few months ago talking about the successes from last year and what goals were made and what weren't, that we talked about going to a fiscal year versus a calendar year, and so we're now on that schedule.
On the calendar.
On the calendar year. Did I say that backwards?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't surprise me. I have it written here, but I didn't read it. So, yeah, so we changed the calendar, and I think that's going to help staff a lot, and it makes it a lot easier to understand. The first one I want to talk about is distribution system reliability, and this is the measure of electric system reliability, and the common measure is SAIDI and SAIFI, and the definition is there. And your target is to be 5% below the average for the utilities throughout the state, FMPA utilities. And this isn't anything new. This is a continuation trying to maintain good system reliability. The next one is replacing underground cable during the goal year. And again, your target is 37,500 feet. And just a reminder that, you know, we set these goals and we hope to achieve them all, but we've learned over the past year that that's not always possible. Things happen and, you know, that's the way it is. But I think they're trying to reach and stretch and meet goals that are maybe a little bit harder than they were in the past. The next one is energy storage, and this is a new measure and target. And so I know there's been a lot of interest among some of the commissioners and some of the board members. And I also know that the staff's very interested. There's a lot going on throughout the utility industry. And so I think it's appropriate that we have added these particular measures and targets. So the measure is to explore energy storage opportunities and then provide a recommendation for the implementation of a pilot project. And so staff will be looking and developing and trying to come up with perhaps a business in the area or someone to partner with to look at adding energy storage and really study it. The next one is improve the customer experience through service enhancements and implementing those. You already heard about the electric vehicles. The goal for next year is to install 20 level 2 electric charging stations. And then the last one I wanted to talk a little bit more about. Some of you probably, or maybe all of you, are very familiar with smart poles. It's kind of interesting if you look at a design of a smart pole, all the things that can be attached to it, including billboards. You can also, you know, you can charge a phone there. You can put a solar panel on it. You can use them for Wi-Fi hotspots. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of different things that can be done with smart poles. And so your customers are becoming more and more aware of these things, and they're asking about them. And so staff is working with community partners to try to develop this and roll out some pilots. And KUA has also received a deed grant from APPA to help fund this. So, like I said, this is, I think, kind of an exciting one. The next one is the rate goal, which is competitive 1,000 kilowatt-hour residential rate. No changes here. You'll remember this is one of the goals, and you can see the red dot down there. That this is the one that that staff didn't make. They thought they were going to make it, and then we had some changes at the last minute where one utility dropped out of the comparison, and another one, a couple other utilities dropped their rates and that sort of thing. So we're going to keep this goal the same because we feel like staff feels like they can make this goal, but it's one-third or 33% within the other FMEA comparisons. The next one is to maintain a minimum 8.63 rating on customer satisfaction. And we're trying to convert this over to a little bit more understandable goal. So you can see down at the bottom the target is 86%. Keep in mind that this is much higher. Well, it's substantially higher than the neighboring utilities, Florida Power and Light, OUC, in the past. You've done better than them. And so I think this is a good stretch goal, but you're consistently above them. And I think you can maintain that level. The next one is involvement in the community. And we don't talk a lot about this one, but one of the things I really enjoy when I come here is to see the videos that are up and see what you're doing in the community, because this is really the backbone of public power. And it also is one of the questions that's in your customer satisfaction survey. So you do ask a question about your involvement in the community. This particular one is to, again, target 17 activities for the year 2020. The next one is a solar energy project implementation. So you got the solar energy project underway. Now we need to get subscribers. And so this goal deals with that. We need to deploy a marketing and education plan for community solar. And the whole idea here is to get people aware of what's available and how to subscribe and that sort of thing. The next one is development of AMI. So you heard a lot about that already today. I'm not going to talk a lot about this. Jeff mentioned some of the things that you'll be seeing in the future, some of the things that are going to be in by the end of the year. And this is one where, you know, again, it has a red dot. You didn't make the goal. You missed it. I think it was a week or less. But you guys were very, you know, I think staff's doing a great job trying to get this implemented. There's still a lot of utilities in the state that are not implementing this. And I can't tell you how jealous. If I was working at a utility now, I'd be very, very jealous of what y'all are doing, because I can't even believe how fast this is coming along. It's great. The next one is to maintain average 99.5% uptime. And, you know, this is the one I like to talk about where, you know, do you really want to increase this goal? I don't think so. This is pretty darn good. And there's always a cost, always a cost. And so we always look at these and say, well, what's the cost to do something better than this? So, again, a great number here, and I think we keep this number the same. The next one is positive income while meeting all fiscal policy set by the KUA board. And just a reminder, you know, you have six financial metrics, and those metrics have to all be met while still achieving positive net income. So this is an important one. And I think staff is working in some areas that are be a little bit different, and I want to show you that one right now. I'm sure you've heard about this. I'm sure there's been some discussion by the board on this. But they're now proposing this new measure to deal with the loss of capacity credits and the retirement of Kane Island units. So there is a target date over the long term, and I think staff is busily trying to figure out how to deal with these things financially, and they'll be bringing that back to you by that target date that's here with some type of, this is how we're going to do it. The next one is complying with, and this is a new measure and target, and I like this one a lot too. Did I move this? Yeah. Okay, so so this refers to jurisdictional regulations. So, for example, environmental law, you know, the utility has to adhere in order to keep their permits and things. They have to adhere to environmental laws, and there's cybersecurity, and there's many others that are, you know, kind of grounded in federal and state law that the utility has to adhere to, and sometimes there are penalties when you don't. And so what's different about your goal than what I've seen at other utilities is the target is no monetary violations. So even if it's $1,000, that's not acceptable. So if you get fined $1,000, you know, you're not going to make the goal. And the reason I think that's important because it sends a signal, and or it's the culture of the organization that says, no, we're not going to violate the law. We're going to make sure we do things on the timelines that are required by law. So I really like this one. And then this one is managing employee attrition, and the target is 4%. The next one is maintaining employee satisfaction rating. Again, the target here is 93%. That's a very, very high level. The next one is maintaining workplace injury rate, and this is always the one that is hard for me to talk about because, you know, you have to set a goal, and you want it to be 5% or better. So the ideal is no injuries, no lost time accidents, but that's not realistic in the industry that we work in, and so we set this goal. But it's a little, again, it's a little, but, you know, the staff is always trying to achieve a better result than what they put here. The next one is the maintain health biometric screening, and the goal, the target for that is 42% participation. And everybody, I think, is pretty familiar with that one. The next one is to formalize a company-wide succession plan. So succession planning has been kind of a buzzword in the industry probably the last 5 years. And I know that staff has a plan, but now they're going to put that plan into a template and share that information, start out with senior management utilizing the template, and then work that into the entire workforce. So it'll be more of a written down thing than a I have it in my mind kind of thing. So I think this is a good goal, good measure, and a good target to get things rolling and get things kind of written down. And then this is the summary of your plan. And this is a beautiful picture. And they taught me how to use this. And I want to use it because I never used this before. And there's an alligator right there. No, I'm kidding. Kidding about that. But that's...
There's quite a few.
Probably five of them. But, again, I want to thank you. I think the staff has done a great job. I know they spend a lot of time talking about what they think needs to happen, but also what you all are talking about. So, again, my compliments to having a great relationship with your staff and getting a lot accomplished.
And we surely thank you for all your work you've done over the years.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments?
Madam Chair, we are looking for...
I was just going to...
We are looking for approval from the
board. I move that we approve the goals.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Staff reports.
Yes, ma'am. I think we've got Chris Gent, Director of Corporate Communications, who's going to provide his semiannual report.
Thank you, Brian. So this is, we've completed our fiscal year 2019. So I just wanted to give you kind of a snapshot of our year in terms of the outreach that this utility does to the community. As Kathy mentioned, that, you know, we ask those questions on our customer satisfaction survey to make sure that we're meeting their expectations of their utility. So I wanted to start off with community festivals. We talked about 17 items that we identify, and majority of those in the strategic plan are community festivals. But just to give you a look at some of them and the variety of things that we do. We've partnered with, in the past year, the Girl Scouts, all the troops in Osceola County came together in our parking lot, and we partnered with them on their trunk-or-treat event. Festival of Lights Parade. We participate in every year as a utility. The utility employees are involved in constructing the float, decorating the float, and then walking with the parade float. KPD Community Appreciation. Well, let me show you a quick video on that parade in case you didn't get a chance to see our float this past year. Just a snapshot. We're already started work on next year or this year's Christmas float. Next, we have the KPD Community Appreciation Day, and this actually started on the one-year anniversary of the shooting of the two KPD officers. And we partnered with KPD and held an event in the park last year, and then it was this year it was held at KPD headquarters. Also, Three Kings Day, which takes place, and the mayor has been a king for many years and rides in on the horse. And that's a huge event out at Old Town. Then we've got the Martin Luther King Parade and Unity Festival that's held in downtown Kissimmee, and we're involved in both the parade aspect and the actual festival. Cowtown Festival, which is the kind of the Founders Day, the birthday of the city of Kissimmee, and that's held in March. The 4th of July, the Monumental, that's one of the largest events of the year, held down on the Kissimmee Lakefront, and followed by fireworks. Then we have Viva Osceola, which is put on by the Hispanic Business Council of the Chamber, and that this year was bigger. They actually hired a promoter to kind of move that event and make it a next level. Then Boo on Broadway, which is just a week or so ago, where they close downtown streets and they do trick-or-treating. So you can see the impact. So the community festivals for last year, in terms of their attendance, we impacted 42,000 people there. Next, we have employee outreach. And as you know, and some of you are participating in our Public Power Day of Giving, this was actually an idea we proposed to APPA a couple of years ago when they came to Orlando for their conference, and they were looking for a local organization to partner with. So we partnered with the Boys and Girls Club, and that kind of kicked off the idea that, hey, why don't we make it a national day of giving in utilities around the country? So that was a conversation that was sparked here with Sue Kelly and has now become a reality. So this year we impacted 2,300 people through the packing of the personal toiletry items. So I just wanted to give you a clip of that. Today is the National Public Power Day of Giving. And here in Kissimmee, KUA and FMPA employees have partnered with Clean the World to package more than 2,300 personal hygiene kits. These kits will be distributed to 7 Osceola County Social Service agencies to be distributed to those most in need. So those, as I said, I mentioned in there, that those toiletry kits, we hand-delivered those to those local nonprofit agencies that go directly to help those in need in our community. So that was a lot of fun. Thank everybody who participates. Then we have our movie in the park. We're actually in our fourth full season. It's held on the first Friday of each month. And October through March, we pick the cooler months because the rest of the year you don't want to be out of the park because it's buggy. And so we pick the cool time of the year. They come out for a free movie. We have themed activities and contests and just a lot of fun. We have our energy audit team there. The solar trailer, Suncatcher is there and really give people information on how to save energy in their homes. So I got a short clip of that. So normally our movie in the park season kind of we start at the beginning and we kind of slowly grow and grow. By March, we're kind of at our peak. And this last month was the start of the season, and we had 4,500 people that showed up for the very first movie. So it we started off with
4,500. 4,500. I thought you said 40,000. Right.
We believe that's the largest one we've ever held. And if you've been at Lakefront Park where the community center is, that entire park, there was no grass left.
That's because of the gator.
Yeah.
That humongous animal you had there.
So last year, we scheduled six. We only had five because we had a hurricane that interrupted one of them. So we held five, but total number of participants in that was 17,500. So a lot of customers come out for that. In our business outreach, and these are targeted things, some of them through the chamber, some of them through the downtown area council of the chamber, but these are either updates, legislative updates, they're updates on downtown, and they've included the Hansel substation and projects that we've been involved in the downtown. And there was even one this year that we were part of on how to train businesses to respond to an active shooter in the workplace. So we had 375 people that attended those three events in 2019. Hurricane prep was really big this year, not anticipating that Dorian was going to be heading our way. But we did a countywide hurricane expo with the Osceola Emergency Management at the Kissimmee Civic Center. We go out for our annual training at Good Samaritan Village. You can see that picture in your bottom left. We do a special one just for the hard of hearing in our community who it's difficult. You figure so much of the information that we get on hurricane prep is, you know, it's coming by television. And so, and if there's not closed captioning available, they really lose out on some information. Plus all the weather alerts and everything are all audible. So we work with that group and it's a slower pace just so that they can get all the information they need to be safe. Also, Kissimmee Lions Club. We went to the Osceola County NAACP. And we also produce our hurricane handbook every year. We produce 70,000 copies of that, which we distribute not only in the newspaper, but we distribute them through our lobby and at community events throughout the season. So total impact there was 70,700. Career days. We do a lot of people trying to educate them on careers available in their community, so when they graduate and they, whether they go to college or trade school or whatever, that there's great jobs here in Kissimmee and here at KUA. So we hosted two Boys and Girls Club career days in fiscal year 2019. We also had a team from UCF that came out, as well as a homeschool student tour. So it's just a way to educate them on different careers. We move them around the company and kind of see all the different jobs that are available. So that impact was 125. Education outreach. So we're heavily involved in the Leadership Osceola County program, which many of our board members and staff have participated in, specifically Economic Development Day. Kissimmee School of Government, the Osceola Science Fair, and we're not only sponsor that, but we actually have employees that serve as judges to judge those entries. And then our Suncatcher education trailer goes out to the community. So that was impact was 582. And our honors, we were recognized obviously with the FMEA Building Strong Communities Award this year for the work that we did, and also three awards from APPA and the Excellence in Public Power Communication Awards that recognizes utilities that have kind of got above and beyond in terms of how they do outreach to their customers. So putting that all together, we've got the community sponsorship program that funds a lot of that. On top of that, we have student scholarships that we contribute. We've got 8 scholarships this current year. The community grill, which you hear about and periodically, but we had 32 rentals in fiscal year 2019 that fed a total of 74,000 people. And our level of involvement in the community was 8.96 in our last customer satisfaction survey from residential customers, and a 9.3 out of a 10-point scale for commercial customers. So collective impact of all the events and the outreach and the sponsorships and everything that we do, our total impact, we hit 386,000 people. Obviously, we're hitting a lot of people, the same people, but obviously a tremendous impact that the employees of KUA do each year, really, to be involved. And really, that's what, as Kathy said, that's what public power is about, is being out there and being involved. So that's kind of the report of the year. So,
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
I would like to add something to his report. There's so many nonprofits that we support that you have to add to that total.
Yes.
That we have no idea. It's in the, probably 100,000 people that we touched during the year, because just with Help Now alone, all the people that you've helped and kept from being murdered or hurt or kept families safe. It's amazing what we do. And I know that's not in your report, but I think that should be mentioned, that all the nonprofits we support reach many, many more people than what you reported.
And the, another example, the Osceola Council on Aging, if you remember, they came a couple of years ago and actually requested for coolers, because they have to deliver hot meals, and the coolers they were using did not maintain temperature, and the food was being delivered below temperature, which is not a safe, it's a safety thing. So all their boxes have KUA logo on the side, and those go out and feed the seniors of Osceola County every single day. So
it's day in, day out. We touch up everybody's life without not even these big things. It's everyday little things
that
we do. Very proud of us.
Yeah, we do good stuff. Any other questions? Okay.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Okay. What comments do people have for the good of the order here at KUA? Start with, just come around this way.
Sounds good to me, Madam Chair. Just a couple things. First, we're working on finalizing the board governance and orientation manual that y'all have been so helpful with. We've received some input from a couple of you for making improvements. We want to get that done as soon as we reasonably can. So if any of you have more suggestions, please get those into us at your earliest opportunity. And then the other thing is, we're all aware of the political impasse in Washington right now, and there seems to be quite a tussle on budget and appropriations bills in the House. But we received some good news today. You know, sometimes our low-income heating and energy assistance program, LIHEAP, it gets caught in the middle of those tugs of war, if you will. Not this time. The agency, I think it's Health and Human Services that distributes the funds, they've already distributed 90% of what they've budgeted for the next fiscal year. So that's very good news for our customers in need that rely on that. That, you know, we're kind of agents of with Council on Aging on getting that distributed. So that's a little piece of good news. And that's all I have, unless there are questions, Madam Chair.
Okay, Brian.
Madam Chair, there are your reminders. I just want to point out a few. This Friday we'll be having the the Mingo Toro substation dedication over there at Neo City at 8:38 a.m. And then on the November the 18th, we'll be having the solar project groundbreaking over in Harmony. I just want to highlight those. And then I'd like just a quick moment to recognize Kevin's facilities folks and Jeff's IT folks for the work that they're doing here in the boardroom. I'm not sure y'all have noticed, but not quite done, but it looks good, and they've done a lot of good work. So thank y'all for that. And other than that, if I don't see y'all before Thanksgiving, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. But I think I'm going to see most of you all before then.
Just want to share another great success for the city of Kissimmee. This past Friday, our Kissimmee Gatewood Airport received their 3 million flight.
Really?
So for 22 years, our tower has been receiving flights through Kissimmee Airport. And so we reached, that was a milestone for us. It really put us ahead of a lot of other municipal airports. So yesterday at our commission meeting, we congratulated our tower staff and all the staff at the airport for the great job that they've done. But good news for us.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Oh, I think I'm good. I'm going to pass.
Annie?
I'm good.
I'm good, too.
Just happy Thanksgiving to everybody, and see you next month.
Madam Chair, before you let go, just want to remind that this Saturday is the Veterans Day Parade in downtown Kissimmee, if you guys can make it. We have it always every other year. We share with St. Cloud, so this year it comes back to us. So hopefully you guys can make it. The parade starts at 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. And thank you all for all your help and your good reports. And see you next month.